Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Church celebrates on this Sunday what we call Trinity Sunday, when we think about the great mystery of God in himself. God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus in the Gospel speaks about the Father. We know he is the Son, he has revealed that, and he speaks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the Son have all that the Father has. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the liturgical year of the Church, we meditate on various important mysteries in the life of Christ. We think about his incarnation and the Annunciation and Christmas. We think about his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, his ascension, the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And on Trinity Sunday, the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, we meditate upon the mystery of God in himself. A mystery is something that we know exists, but we cannot really explain it. Now, in the vast fields of human knowledge, there are many things that in the beginning are mysterious to us, things we know exist but we can't understand. But over the years, we have discovered that if we put our mind to something, we can understand many things about things that were at once mysterious, but now we can come to see what they're all about. In the field of science or medicine or any other sphere of human involvement, human knowledge, we can eventually understand it. Our minds are very powerful. They're a great gift from the Lord. The mind is something that we must make use of. And our minds are capable of coming to some understanding of even the existence of God. We can, of our own minds, of our own use of reason, we can come to understand that God exists. There are two major ways to come to know about the existence of God. The first has to do with the physical world, not simply the earth, but the entire universe, everything that exists. We start to perceive an order that exists in all of the universe. Things seem to work. We come to notice how things come into existence, that at some point nothing was there, and now we have something. Then we come to see that things that do exist depend on other things in order for them to exist. Good example would be our own lives. There was a time when we never existed, and now we do. When we study or just think seriously about the world around us, we start to perceive that there is a power that was at the beginning of everything. Everything has an origin. That there is an intelligence or a reason, an eternal reason that has ordered everything well. The other way that we can come to understand that there is an almighty power, or as we call it, God, who created everything, is when we think about human life, especially our own lives. We perceive in our own lives a sense of goodness. We know when something is evil because it's lacking in goodness. And so there has to be a source of ultimate goodness. We have an openness to truth. We have this innate idea that there is truth about why we exist or where we come from. Within each of our lives, we have a longing for that which is infinite. We long for eternal happiness. You know, people even say this, they just want to live and be happy. Now, we have to take the time to think about these big questions about life, about where we came from, where we're going, what life is all about. If we just busy ourselves with all sorts of entertainment and distractions, we will fail to use our mind and come to think about these important realities. When we think about our own lives, we come to discern the existence in each of our lives of a spiritual soul, that we have an identity, a unique identity that's beyond our body. Well, the source of all these great things is God himself. But we can't go much beyond that. Our mind is not really capable of understanding who God is and what he's all about. We're kind of stuck at that idea that there's an all-powerful source who has created everything and orders things. Well, down through the ages, God chose to reveal himself, to reveal who he is and what he's all about. Gradually and in stages, he revealed himself to Adam and Eve, to Noah and his family, to Abraham, to Israel, the men and women who were the people of God. And in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, the Son of the Blessed Virgin Mary, God has made his fullest revelation of who he is. Jesus Christ is consubstantial with the Father. He's of the same nature as the Father. The Father is God, so too is Jesus. He is God with us. In Jesus Christ is the very life of God. God has come to us in the person of his Son Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. In Christ, God has searched for us and found us. When you read the book of Genesis, the fall of Adam and Eve, when they committed that first sin, the original sin, one of the things they did was they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And human history is kind of like a great journey of people trying to hide themselves from God. But the greater part of history is God trying to find us, seeking us out in Jesus Christ, his divine Son. In Christ, God comes to us. He seeks us out, and he brings us back to our identity as beloved children of God. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid from the Lord, thereby denying their own identity as children of God, denying their own inherent dignity as children of God. In Christ, God comes to bring us back to our true identity. In the teaching of Jesus and in his mysteries, he comes to show us more about the mystery of God. He reveals to us that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. The persons of the Trinity are not parts of God. They're one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Most Holy Trinity. Now, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Scriptures. It's just the word that the Church uses to explain what has been revealed by God. The Trinity is something that we cannot understand through our minds alone. It has to be revealed to us by the Lord, and it has been. The Blessed Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian faith. It really is. All other mysteries of Christianity, the very reason for the existence of our relationship to God, is centered and founded upon the mystery of the Trinity. When we were baptized, we were baptized not only in the name of God, but in the name of the Most Holy Trinity. That's where our relationship to God began, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I say this whenever I baptize someone. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When we go to confession, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our sins are forgiven in the name of the Most Holy Trinity. When we pray, we begin with the sign of the cross, in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We receive blessings from the Church, again, in the name of the Trinity. The Blessed Trinity is the very foundational mystery of our religion. Now, someone may ask, what good does it do us to know that God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Is it simply a theological idea that has no bearing on my life? Well, think about this. By revealing to us that he is Trinity, God shows us what his interior life is. His interior life is relationship. In the communion of the divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is relationship. It's a relationship of divine love. St. John says in one of his letters that God is love. God is love. That's what he is in his interior identity. He is love, the communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This teaches us two things that can help us right now in our lives and all throughout our life. First, our idea of God must be that God is love. When we think of God, we have to think of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what he is. That's what he's revealed himself to be, the Most Holy Trinity. In the Scriptures, we hear often about something called the fear of the Lord. Sometimes you'll hear it commented about a fiery preacher that he put the fear of God in someone. Well, the fear of the Lord is important to have. Scripture says that fear of the Lord is the first stage of wisdom. If we don't have fear of God, we will never achieve wisdom. We'll go through life blinded. Fear of the Lord is something we actually want to have. But there are two kind of models of fear. One kind of fear is the fear of a slave to the master. The slave fears his master. He's afraid to violate the master's rules because he doesn't want to be punished. He knows the master will punish him. The other kind of fear is the fear a son has toward his loving father. The son fears to break the rules of the father because he knows the father loves him and he loves the father. You know, we kind of experience this in our friendships. If we have good friendships, we are afraid to offend our friend, not because we're afraid he or she's going to punish us. It's because we're afraid that our friend will see that we don't love them. It's because we know that our friend loves us that we don't want to offend them. So, in our relationship to God, God is love. He is perfect love, the perfect communion of the Trinity. We don't want to offend him because he loves us. This is the best motivation to repent of our sins, to avoid sin, to obey the commandments of God. It's because we know that God loves us so much, that he is love in himself. He is a communion of life and of love in the communion of the Most Holy Trinity. The other thing that we learn from God's revelation of himself as Trinity that can help us is this. If we want to experience the mystery of love, that is, if we want to go through life with a living sense that we are totally accepted and desired always, then we should strive to live a holy life, to live as friends of the Lord, to follow his way. People today sometimes suffer from a fear of rejection. They're terrified of being rejected, and this affects them in their relationships very much. It sort of oppresses them throughout their lives. They're afraid of being rejected. If you're afraid of being rejected, then that's going to be with you all the time. Your friendships will be a source of anxiety for you, because you'll be wondering, is my friend going to reject me, or is this person I'm working with going to reject me? Well, the healing from that wound of rejection is to draw close to the Lord. He is love. He loves us. That's all he does is love us. He's loving us right now. He's loving you. Right now, he is. So, the more we draw close to the Lord in holiness of life, the more we draw close to perfect love. I tell young people who are preparing for marriage that it takes five persons to make a good marriage: husband, wife, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I try to impress upon them this idea that if they're closer to God, their marriage will be stronger. Because love is at the heart of marriage. And what is love? God is love. And if we're close to God, we are close to love. And we're able to live the mystery of human love much better. So, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Most Holy Trinity, the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we find our identity as beloved children of God. God is love, and he is loving in and of himself right now. Let us respond to the love of the Lord by loving him in return, obeying his gospel, and trusting in him completely. God bless you.